have oftentimes failed to make the good confession. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our sins of thought, word, and deed, our sins of action and inaction, and fill us, Heavenly Father, with forgiveness, life, and salvation that wells up into making the good confession. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 656, please stand as you're able.
Service of Matins, page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me.
Thank you.
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sing together the introit as you find it in the front of your bulletin insert. Continue with hymn 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Presentation of the Augsburg Confession is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not ever heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This, O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for the days you find on the front of your bulletin insert. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord of his heart. The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. The gospel reading is from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit has taken away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the common responsory on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from John 15, especially verse 5 and verse 8. Verse 5 reads, I am the vine, Jesus speaking. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Dear friends in Christ, on Palm Sunday, between services here at Good Shepherd, somebody came up to me right after Bible study with the horrific news of the bombing that had taken place in the Coptic Christian church in Egypt. There were nearly 40 people that had been slaughtered by Islamic extremists. Why? Because Christians wanted to be in God's house, worship Christ, and receive his gifts. At our 10:30 service that day, we included a prayer for our brothers and sisters in the faith in Egypt. After the church service, somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, thanks for that prayer. I guess I didn't even realize that there were Christians in Egypt. How tiny is our world? How focused we are on me, myself, and I, and how little are we concerned for Christians. Christians who may dress a little different than us, live many, many, many hours in an airplane ride away, and maybe worship in a different way, but still worshiping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sharing much, if not all, of the same confession that we do. A few weeks ago, there was another terrorist attack in Egypt. 29 people on their way to worship, riding in a bus out in the middle of a desert, they were abducted by, once again, Islamic extremists. And there in the middle of the desert, they were murdered. They were murdered because of their confession of Christ. What's shocking about both of these incidents in the Christian church in Egypt is that for most people in the world, it's not shocking. Nobody knows, nobody cares. How easy it is for us to affix the blame on the mainstream media. The mainstream media had less than 1/100th of the coverage of these two massacres as they did for the Manchester bombing in England. Why? Well, many people in the mainstream media don't take Christians very seriously. And I would submit to you that when we fix our blame and our focus on the talking heads in the media, we are fixing our blame mostly on the wrong spot. My friends, why should we expect anyone in the world, why should we expect anyone in the mainstream media to take Christianity seriously when we, who are proponents of Christianity right here in America, don't take it seriously ourselves? Oh, we may go in spurts, but you know what I mean. How serious are we about the faith? We just sang in that hymn, A mighty fortress is our God. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, the victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. We sang those words with gusto. Kind of the Lutheran national anthem, right? Do we mean it? Do we really mean it? Let's take things a little closer to home. Every year, Lutheran churches throughout the world, but especially here in America, gather on or around Palm Sunday, somewhere between Palm Sunday and Pentecost, for the ceremony, the rite, R-I-T-E, of confirmation. And we parade our children forward, and we do all kinds of wonderful things in the name of the church, and we ask our kids to make a pledge, I would rather die than fall from the faith. Fully knowing and expecting that we'll never see some of those kids ever again. We just go through the motions. We just go through the motions. Imagine, if you will, having to go out into the desert to worship. Why? Because if you don't go out into the desert, you might get shot. So you get on a bus and you find a safe place and you go out in the desert and you think, now, finally, we can worship. But instead, you're followed. You're abducted. Militant extremists have you surrounded. They ask you a question. Very simple question. Are you a Christian? My friends, we're not in that situation. But there are people throughout the world that are. Are you a Christian? Very simple question, yes or no. I wonder sometimes if we would be arrested for being a Christian, if there would be enough evidence out there to convict us. But that's a whole nother topic. Yes or no, are you a Christian? 29 people, men, women, and children answered yes. Then came a second question. Can you imagine that? They got the opportunity to confess the faith twice. I'm sure most of these people did not realize that there would even be a second question, and that by answering yes to the first question, it would cost them their life. Then came the second question. Another opportunity to confess or get off the hook. Are you willing to renounce your Christian faith and worship Allah? My friends, we have no idea and no comprehension what it is like to live the Christian faith in a way that may cost us our life. We whine and complain about little persecutions that go on here. You didn't have to take a bus ride out into the desert to go to church this morning. You didn't have to look in the rearview mirror to see if there was anybody following you with a machine gun. Nobody cornered you in the parking lot and put a gun to your head. 29 people, men, women, and children, when asked if they would renounce their Christian faith and convert to Islam, 29 people said, no, boom, dead, shot in the head or shot in the throat. My friends, today we come into God's house. And it's easy to have a history lesson about something that happened 487 years ago, where people in a faraway land knelt down and said, "Go ahead and chop off our necks. We will not renounce our confession." It's easy to commemorate those kind of things. I would submit to you that one of the reasons why we don't like to think about the persecution that's going on throughout the world, and one of the reasons why we don't want to dwell on the fact that 29 brothers and sisters in the faith were martyred, truly martyred for their confession, is because we don't want to have anything rock us out of our easy Christian faith. We like it being easy. We don't want to be reminded of what true discipleship and a true confession is all about. A bus ride out into the desert to go to church. How many times don't we whine and complain when the dew point is over 65 on Sunday morning, or it's raining, or it's snowing, or the streets are a little bit slick? Oh, we'll just stay home today. I'm not going to church. You know what that one guy did to me 17 years ago? Hey, at the last potluck, pastor didn't come over and say hi and shake my hands. I'm offended. I'm not going back. My friends, we have it easy. And we like it easy. We don't want to be challenged in our faith. We don't want anybody telling us to examine how we dress, how we talk, what words come out of our mouth, what television shows we watch, what movies we attend. We don't want anybody to have us possibly feel guilty because we might be sinning. We would just as soon ignore God's word and create our own rules. We like it. We like it easy. Sometimes the greatest theological discourse I have with some of our members is when they are making a bold confession for why they should remain in their sin. We've all been there to a greater or lesser extent. My friends, how many of us, if somebody put a gun to our head and asked us to renounce the faith, would be down on our knees reciting Aramaic prayers just that fast? Let's be honest. They wouldn't have to put a gun to our head. All they'd have to do is put a gun to our television set or a gun to our smartphone. Or a couple of weeks ago, our air conditioner. My friends, Jesus has some very clear words for us today. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The reason why we are so poor at making the good confession. Why we cower so easily at the thought of any kind of sacrifice for Christ and the church and the faith is because we have cut ourselves off from Christ and His Word, the true source of life. Making a good confession does not get us into heaven. It's a good work. It's a good deed. Making the good confession, whether it be thought or word or deed, is a byproduct of the faith. When we are connected to Christ, the true life-giving vine, His life, His forgiveness, His salvation wells up inside of us, and we can't control it. We can't keep it in. It oozes out of our veins. My friends, today we come into God's house. Can we be honest enough to admit that when it comes to the faith, we're pretty lazy? The thought of making a sacrifice in order to go to church or be a Christian is the farthest thing from our mind. We don't want to give up our Netflix addiction or our all too frequent visits to the porn sites. We like it the way it is. But God's Word says, no. No. Christ has set us free from the slavery of sin. He has not given us a license to run back to the hog trough. For all of the times that we have taken the easy way out, for all of the times that we have been apathetic and indifferent about being in God's house and hearing God's Word, receiving God's gifts, for all of the times we have cowered and kept our mouth shut when we should have opened it to make the good confession with our family, our friends, at work, on Facebook, and for all of the times we've opened up our mouths and made fools of ourselves as we renounced Christ and His Word. For all of our sins of thought, word, and deed, Christ came into this world. Christ made the good confession. Christ placed Himself under God's holy law. He fulfilled it perfectly. He bled and He died for our indifference. He shed His blood for our apathy. It is finished. It is complete. It is fulfilled. All of your sins have been paid for by the holy, precious, innocent blood of Jesus. Not even death could hold the one who knows no sin. The stone-cold body of Jesus, risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Everything Christ has done, He has done for you. He has given us the faith, forgiveness, life, and salvation. He has knit us together as one, not only in our local congregation, but in the holy Christian church throughout the world. When our brothers and sisters in Christ hurt and bleed and die, we hurt and bleed and die with them. And when we renounce the faith, no matter how we do it, by our apathy and our indifference, our brothers and sisters in Christ hurt as well. My friends, the psalmist says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. It is God who will fill us with the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation, so that we can open our lips to confess Christ and Christ alone, that the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit truly is God in our lives and doesn't play second fiddle to anything. My friends, the love of God and His Word welling up inside of us will give us the strength and the courage to say yes to that which is good and virtuous in our life, and to say no to that which is bad and shameful. We can't do it on our own. We've proven that again and again and again. But the good news is, Christ has made the good confession for you. Christ has lived and died and risen for you. Christ says, my daughter, my son, your sins are forgiven, full and free. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? Now, go and sin no more. My friends, forgiven and free. We go forth from this place with Christ's words in our hearts and on our lips. And by the power of God's holy gospel, forgiveness, life, and salvation. May God bless us. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our confession in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess the faith. This morning, we sing the words of the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
and welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray the good news of forgiveness, full and free, for all of our sins, even our sin of a poor confession, would bring joy and courage and confidence today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. The Lord be with you. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word. And bestow on Christ's church militant your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes. We pray for the family of Catherine Williamson, whose father, Will Gutwalt, was called to his eternal home yesterday. We also pray for the family of Matt Phillips, as they will be traveling for several days in Europe, and we pray for safety. Generous Father, you have redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil through the bitter sufferings and death of your Son on the cross. Grant that by the Holy Spirit we may recognize the poverty and blindness of our sins. Repent and gladly hear and obey your word. Let us not put off your gracious invitation to the banquet of the supper of your Son, but faithfully and eagerly receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom. Bless the churches of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world, that they may ever confess the truth of your word with boldness in the midst of all adversities. Strengthen and protect all pastors and servants of the church, the leaders in our church body, and especially the vicars who are concluding their service, the vicars who will be beginning their service, and all the seminarians who are receiving their first call. Bless them that the gospel may be faithfully proclaimed among us and the sacraments administered according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, grant wisdom to all those in authority over us and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. May they be guided by your will to walk according to your commandments, that we may serve and worship you in all blessedness and quietness. Bless and protect all those who serve in our armed forces, that they would fulfill their duties with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy, Father, you daily and richly bless us with all things needful for this body and life. Grant that we, thankful for the abundant gifts you have given to us in your Son, may joyfully share all we have with our neighbor in need. Bless all those who serve the poor, the hungry, the homeless, that their vocations of care may be a reflection of your fatherly love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, the Savior of the brokenhearted and Counselor of the crushed in spirit, grant to all those who are suffering in body and soul a sure and certain hope of your steadfast love for them in Christ Jesus. Look in mercy upon all those who are sick or suffering this day. Jerry, Celeste, Ed, Sharon, Al, Cindy, Doretta, Mildred, Sherry, Mark, Ron, Dell, Sonia, Ted, Anna, Larry, Bonnie, Warren, Ken, Brian, Ralph, Shelley, Betty, Doug, Kristen, Desi, Raleigh, Joyce, Charlotte, Noel, Carol, Natalie, Pearl, Leola, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Heavenly Father, bless them with your healing touch and give them grace in the midst of their affliction. Lord, in your mercy, Father, you are God of life, and we thank you for the gift of life given in a daughter, Clara Elizabeth, to Dr. Christopher and Elizabeth Allman. Keep mother and daughter safe until Clara is born again.
KMFALP 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Father, you are our hope and our stay, even in the midst of death. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day. Catherine Williamson, mourning the loss of her father. For the family of Clara Dinas, the family of Bonnie Gass, the family of Elsie Kratke, the family of Adam Kamen and his girlfriend, the family of Kevin Wagner. Heavenly Father, bless them with the assurance that because Christ lives, we too shall live, and that there will be a grand and glorious family reunion with all those who cling to Christ in faith. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 658, Preserve Your Word, O Savior, 658.